right. Good morning, folks. Happy Friday. Welcome back. It's time for Drive Time Friday. Got David Justice online with me. This is Mark Call here. Both of us in sunny at today's, as today's show airs anyway, Colorado, where we're going to talk about a whole bunch of things that ultimately are kind of in line with the things we've seen coming for a long time. But I guess this week, David, I've been saying the gloves are off for a long time. Not only are the gloves off, I guess you could say that evil Big Brother is standing naked and Hunter Biden-like before an America that can't help at this point, but if it doesn't avert its eyes, look and see just how nasty things have already gotten. So good morning. How are you doing? And I know where you want to start, but let me turn it over to you and kick it off.
Well, as I turned on my Skype to get ready for this call this morning, I couldn't help but notice Skype has its own little news network, and so I clicked on it, and it took me to NBC, where we had reporter who had engaged a couple of legal scholars talking about how Trump, according to the 14th Amendment, Section 3, anyone who is involved in aiding and abetting insurrection is no longer eligible to run for office. And I thought, how fascinating. When we have the institutional government today itself being guilty of treason itself, and I say that its instrumentality has been taken over by some very nefarious, evil people. So the engines of government themselves have been involved in, and the levers being pulled to the end of creating a false scenario that causes Trump to be guilty of treason such that he can't run. And what an amazing thing. It's like in the days of Yeshua. You know, here he is, King of Kings. He shows up to fulfill his destiny, at least so the Apostle Peter thought. And they end up killing the man because they were afraid of the power they would lose. I think we have a, not that I'm comparing Jesus to, or Yeshua to Trump. I'm saying that when evil people hold power, power corrupts absolutely. And when anyone attempts to go up against that power, they get smeared, demonized, they get marginalized. And such has been the John Birch Society and other patriotic societies over the course of the years. And this is the culmination of that. Trump comes along, wants to expose these guys, then they turn around, charge him with treason while simultaneously being involved in direct corruption, bribery with foreign governments and being compromised. The irony and it's, if it wasn't so serious, it would be laughable. But that's what we're experiencing today. And this has just been another week with this new Georgia indictment against Trump. So, let's catch up on what's happened during the week and let's move on to what we can do about it. Mark, thanks for having me on again.
Okay. Well, it's always great to talk with you, David. I looked at this latest series of, we're going to make stuff up. And that's what they ought to call the indictment. This is MSA, making stuff up, or making whatever you might call this is that's worse than stuff up. But honestly, people should look at this, shake their heads, and laugh if it wasn't such a outright fascist, communist, in your face, ha-ha, we can do anything we want. What are you going to do about it? Slap in the face. To call it a rape of the First Amendment is, it's an understatement. Because what they're doing is to say, we have had a successful insurrection. We took over the government. The hell with democracy. That was always a ruse anyway, never constitutional. But the Constitutional Republic's dead and buried. The whole Bill of Rights has been dead and buried. And now we're going to basically say that we're instituting Orwellian thought crimes. If you dare to suggest that what we're doing isn't exactly what we're doing, and now the new government, well, we're going to show you. So I'm surprised that when they indicted Trump, and they indicted, 18, 19, they didn't indict 18 million people and say, we're going to indict everybody who doesn't believe that this election was the most fair and honest in the history of the entire world. Because how dare you suggest that anything we got away with wasn't just absolutely wonderful. Because after all, the good guys won and are rewriting the history books. So on every front, David, I look at this, and honestly, I haven't spent too much time on it because it is such an incredible, unbelievable farce. And you've got the, you know, this another Soros DA essentially saying, ha ha, not only will we will rub your face in it, but we'll pee on your body after we have knocked you down. And that's literally what they're doing. Any last comments? Let's talk about the other big reveal this week that I think is just as blatant in terms of what we're seeing. Go ahead.
Okay, let me sum up again, and just to round out the picture, because everything you said is I'm in total agreement with. But we need to understand that this insurrection that Trump was exposing and continues to expose goes back more than 100 years. It goes back all of the way to the Civil War. It goes. Andrew Jackson fought this battle against the central bankers.
Right.
A private system has been established on this planet, and that system is the banking system. We were warned about the military-industrial complex by Eisenhower. These institutions are of the world. I believe these are the same institutions Yeshua fought when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago. The insurrection, America's founding fathers attempted to throw off that system, which crept its way back into America, and now we find it again. Once again, we're fighting that same corrupt system, which is a privatized reality, like the Matrix, where they get to control what everybody thinks and what everybody does, and we call it communism, fascism, we call it despotism or tyranny, but the bottom line, it's corruption. And I think this was what the idea of Baal is. It's the, when the state becomes God, when the state becomes a totalitarian in how it is, it becomes the means of our existence, it becomes the why of our existence, it wants everybody to bow down and worship it. It is propaganda. It is a satanic system that demands obedience or they will kill us. And that system has been set up in America, and prima facie in our face was the guy that we talked about last week there in Utah. How dare he make some comments on Facebook and call people's attention to the system that ultimately is an adversary to the truth. So, no, it's here, and it's in its fullness. The question is really coming down to, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to cower and not speak out and tell the truth? Or are we going to plug in and go along to get along? Because that's ultimately what we're being faced with, Mark.
All right. Well, let's talk about the other thing that pretty well, I think in so many ways is another slap in the face of a wake-up call to Americans. And, of course, most people listening know what I'm referring to. Oh, we're talking about Maui. And what an amazing series of coincidences that just happened to kill more people than have died in a fire so far in the last century. And it's almost so amazing in terms of how evil it was. Almost looks planned, David, because all these things had to come together at once. You had to have the winds, you had to have the right kind of people in the right kind of positions of power, like Pelletier, or however the son of a you know what pronounces his name, the same guy that covered up what happened in Las Vegas with the mass murder there and the use of fully automatic firearms that peons can't have. But anyway, so much that was covered up that just stinks to high heaven. And here it is, another massive cover-up. The whole thing, literally, from top to bottom, it stinks. The fire was not – people weren't warned about the fire. The emergency alarm systems, the sirens didn't go off. Oh, yeah, today they've got their scapegoat. The SOB that essentially ordered that they wouldn't go off has now resigned. But guess what? He was just part of the problem. There were – I guess the thing that I think really should tip people off to what was going on here, does this prove something? No, it doesn't prove that the fires were set, doesn't prove arson, doesn't prove anything, but it certainly stinks. Again – Fire and Fury. There was a book that came out called Fire and Fury, The Story of the 2023 Maui Fire. They claim to have interviewed a whole bunch of people and its implications for climate change. Oh, wait a minute. There you go. Isn't that amazing? In other words, here's the real bottom line. This has to do with propaganda. And are you ready for this? The book claims to cover the story of the fire from August 8th through August 11th, but it was published on August 10th. Wow! You think anybody else could get a book pushed through that fast and get it up on Amazon so quickly, unless it was propaganda? And arguably, it was probably even AI written. You know, you can imagine what they told ChatGPT or whatever gulag robot it was that did it. Write a propaganda piece, make up facts if you have to, about the fire, and let's just get it out there quickly. And here's what you have to tell people. So when you look at all this, when you connect the dots and you ask, why was the water turned off? What about the power? What about all the things here that just had to come together at the right time and the right place in order to get so many people killed, had to have roads closed, had to, you name it. And if there is anything that should alert people, and this was the reason I spent so much time on this one talking about it on the Come Out of Her My People show, fires scare people. I know when I was flying across country a lot of times, and you talk about emergencies in flight, probably the scariest emergency, more than anything else that a pilot can deal with in flight, is fire. Because, when it comes to a fire in flight, there aren't very many places to go. Well, it turns out that in Maui and in Lahaina, there weren't very many places to go, and a lot of people either jumped in the ocean or burned alive. We don't even know how many yet. And I wonder if this book will tell us how many they had planned on. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Well, the coincidences are again too many, and it stinks a lot to me when I first heard about it, like the Paradise Fire there in California, and the evidence reflects, and if you watch the photos, I can't help it, and I don't have any proof of claim, but the idea of a directed energy weapon is a very real possibility. That the timing of this thing corresponded with, like you said, the writing of that book. What a coincidence. But again, we're living in a delusion, where the people that are being exposed are desperate. And they're so desperate, there's nothing that is beneath them. And we're talking about, ultimately, total control of a planet, and they're making their move because they know their time is short. And if they don't get it done before the next election or coming up to the next election, they're going to be totally exposed. They've got the human trafficking that's being exposed. They've got their treason is being exposed. And it's being exposed in a way that it's really never been exposed before. And with the internet providing people with real-time knowledge of what their crimes are, it doesn't surprise me that they might turn a directed energy weapon and start yet another fire, and feign ignorance because, it was climate change it's a harsh reality, but you know what? This is the wake-up call for us to realize that we've run out of options, and we have to step into the fullness of who we are and become the kingdom of heaven on earth and take on this despicable system and reveal it for what it is, Mark.
Well, and I think part of the reason why the fire at least should resonate with us and ought to be something people are aware of is it's a tool. It's a weapon that can be so readily employed, and look how they're covering it up. All it takes, honestly, and I hear the stuff about directed energy weapons, and that's not new. There were references to that all the way back, even before the California fires that stank to high heaven as well. But they got away with that. Hey, why not do it again? But the problem is, it doesn't take high tech to do this. All it takes is the coordination that we saw. All these coincidences. Well, how about the coincidence of a whole bunch of nutcases that have been unleashed? Look what they did to Portland and Seattle. We know that arson is high on their list of tools. Why not just say, hey, here's a box of matches or a Bic lighter and a gallon of gasoline. Go upwind and we'll tell you where to go and when to strike your matches and get out of there. Don't worry. We got the cops on the take. They'll let you go. Here are the roads that are going to be open. Here are the ones that are going to be closed. Don't go that way. So all of this basically, are we spinning possible? Look, it does not take a whole lot of intelligence to connect the dots here and say, How many, you know, you're not even hearing this. How many people were found in the vicinity of these California fires that the cops and the good municipalities caught and saw? You're not hearing about that. Isn't that amazing? Well, we're not hearing about it here in Hawaii either, but I have a strong suspicion that there was a whole lot more going on here than most people are being told. So, again, what's the point? The reason why I emphasize it is because many of us live in rural areas. Hey, we're trying to get out of the cesspool cities. Well, what kind of weapons do we think they might employ that we need to be aware of? You betcha. Fire is a big one. You light off a forest and then see what happens and where people have to run. And you want to drive people out, destroy their animals. I spent some time yesterday, David, talking about Sherman's March to the Sea, how Lincoln and the tyrants in the last Civil War used fire to burn people out of their homes. They raped the women, too, and killed the animals. They shot every dog that they came across. This is precisely what we're seeing. Yeah, history may not repeat exactly, but it rhymes. Go ahead.
I can't add to that. The tactic of the enemy is to kill, steal, and destroy. And when they infiltrate the government and take control of power, that's the very definition of despotism, dictatorship. It's criminal government. It's racketeering. It's the very thing that Trump was charged with down in Georgia this week. So here they go again, projecting their crimes onto Trump just to keep our eyes off the ball, Mark.
Isn't it amazing? Yeah. So, I don't know, is there anything else you want to add on it? The suspicions about the book are just a tiny fraction of this. But I guess if there is good news here, David, it's the following. It's that the more people, even if it turns out the book was totally benign, hey, you know, we just happened to have the AI all set up to write this book, and we were looking for an excuse to do it, and here we go. So isn't that special? On the other hand, it ought to at least encourage us to recognize so many people are looking at this and they're saying, wait a minute, something stinks. I guess I better pay more attention. And I think that's what's really important. More and more people are realizing they better pay attention to what we're seeing.
Well, you know, there in what was the town back east that just had the movie come out about a toxic chemical because of a train
Palestine.
Wreck. And so, so now we had a movie come out before the actual event. Now we have an AI book come out during the event. It's just all too, it's interesting that they would go to the point of telegraphing their moves like this. I'm intrigued by why they would do something like that, Mark.
Well, we have the answer. Event 201. They telegraphed what they intended to pull when it came to the Zyklon B injections. The how are we going to manipulate the press? How are we going to get this worldwide? What are we going to do with who? How are they going to step up? Hey, when people say, I'm not going to wear your idiotic mask because I have half a brain and I want to keep it and not poison it with CO2 in my bloodstream, how are we going to control them? I know. We'll war game it. We'll simulate it on the computer. We will try to predict, because we've been running these trial balloons for years now, how people will react, how we'll cut them off, how we'll shut them down from Facebook and Twitter, continue to gang rape the First Amendment. They did that long before Trump. By the way, if I have another complaint against Trump, it's that when other people were being gang raped and their First Amendment rights taken away, he let it happen. As DeSantis pointed out, he could have fired Comey for 3 full years. He didn't. So, I guess, David, to his defense, because I know you'll be inclined to defend the man, too, maybe he's learned, okay? I guess a lot of times people have to see it happening and affect them personally before they realize, ooh, this First Amendment thing, it really is important. Ooh, this Second Amendment thing, they would have killed me if I didn't have my own bodyguards, and they would have killed Trump by now if he hadn't had his own bodyguards. So on every front, maybe this is the point. In other words, it takes somebody in a position of power who says, now I realize it. Now I get it. I didn't before. But is it true? Does he really figure that out? You know, I don't know. I do not expect a political savior, but I do believe that if people have eyes to see and they will pay attention, we are seeing more than enough indications of what's coming, what we need to be prepared for, what we need to be doing. So you're right. Let's talk about some of the things individuals can do, because they're going to plan more fires. I guarantee you the fire's already planned. They've already got the next couple, two or three. of the plandemics on tap. I saw a story that the new director of the NIAID, Fauci's old sniping post, is a woman who is basically the champion of remdesivir. Hey, let's kill people when they get in the hospital with our protocols. Over and over again, the singular point, they really, really, really do want people dead. There are no limits to their perfidy. There are no limits to the evil that they will pull. And they're looking at history just like we should be. And they're saying, how did Lincoln do it? Hey, look, he gang raped the South. He sent Sherman across there. We can do more than that. We got better technology, better control of the propaganda, and we're seeing it. Go ahead.
In the end, what they want is control. And the dark side, we'll just call them the dark side, the darkness, whatever. They need to control because they're not living and walking in the truth. And so their whole reality is about controlling so that they can maintain their positions, because they love money, they love position, they love power, and this is the thing that tempts all of us. And so they use fear as their primary weapon. Fear, gaslighting, their primary weapon is propaganda, all of the, anything that opposes the truth. And we call it the adversary. You know, this is the satanic realm. This is the demonic realm of they call reality. And so how fascinating to me that we're living in a time when the reality of the adversary is so predominant on this planet. We're being forced to choose. There's no fence sitting here. We've either got to become who we are in this, which really begs the question, who are we? And how do we remember this? Even our churches have bought into the propaganda to the point where they're contributing to the delusion. Ah, but let's not forget, this is a perfect delusion, because this delusion is sent to us by our Father himself, because we didn't want to know the truth in the first place. So we start moving toward the truth and start asking the questions and start remembering, wait a minute, who am I? What are we doing here? What is this place? And, you know, I think that those things are written on our hearts and in our minds, because I know that's the new covenant. And as we return and change our mind and reconsider and reevaluate everything, which is what this circumstances being presented to us are prompting in us. And so the good news in all this is, you know, we've been painted into a corner. We've run out of ideas and places to hide, or, you know, we can't kick the can down the road anymore. This is real, and it's coming to a theater near us. And we're, as a matter of fact, we're in the theater watching this movie. And so we have an opportunity to step outside the theater, step back into reality, which I know is the kingdom of heaven and everything that Yeshua taught and the principles and ideologies of the truth. And that's what is being obfuscated by these bastards who absolutely need to kill us or control us or to cause us to live and walk in fear and terror so that they can maintain their little system and live life happily ever after. But it's a private system, and their private system has a shelf life, and we're coming to the end of it, and their desperation is evidence that we're coming to the end of it, Mark.
All right. Well, so let's talk about some of the things that we need to be paying attention to at this point. We've got just about a minute before the break, so I'll throw that out before we get to the bottom of the hour, and then we can talk about when we get back. But one of the things that I think is fascinating about taking a deep dive into the fires themselves are, if we recognize this pattern, and we see it with the Zyklon B injection, don't take the poison poke. They're going to come to you. They're going to say, booga, 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 the new Ebola variant, the Congo kill you flu, is going to be so scary. You're going to want to wear your mask, even if you know it's stupid. You're going to want to take this poison poke, even if you know we haven't tested it, and we killed so many people with it before. So, hey, fire is scary, too. All of these things are things we can plan for and think about and prepare for. And let's see. There we go. We're going to talk about that when we get back. All right, we are back, folks. This is the Drive Time Friday Show. We're talking not only about the things that have, I hope at least, awakened Americans to the fact that there are those who want to kill you. They want to kill you real bad. We know that Scripture says this, the adversary, those that essentially serve the prince of this world, and he is the prince of this world, well, he comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And we are seeing so many indications that the rule of law doesn't even slow them down. They make stuff up, and they're, if necessary, certainly willing to commit mass murder. After all, they injected over 1 billion people on the planet with a known poison, and the correct legal term is knew or should have known, but given that they tried to hide the evidence that they knew, I guess we can say that one's kind of a given. Where we were headed when I went to the break, David, I was suggesting that you have to not ignore the likelihood that what happened here was arson. And that there were, in fact, if people weren't out there with cigarette lighters and cans of gas, that there were certainly those who coordinated an attempt that looks, oh, I'm sure they had well intentions. And, you know, you got to kill a few people to make an omelet, got to break some eggs. We got to get rid of, 5, 6, 7 billion. So this is a great place to start. Besides, we got people willing to pay top dollar for this land. We'll have the state buy it so it looks good. But ultimately, it's going to be for us, who are the public-private partners of the almighty state. On every front, what I'm pointing out is, you don't have to do anything except see the truth to be able to connect the dots. Okay, so as we went to break, where do we go from here? What does all this indicate? And I pulled up some stories. You have Black Lives Matter, which of course means that if you dare to suggest all lives matter, you're a racist. Well, that was how we started. Now we've got Antifa, which is about as fascist as you can get. We have groups that were burning down buildings in Seattle and in other places. They set fires in Kenosha. We had groups, and of course Portland. Let's not forget all of the places, the leftist hellholes, where they're literally revealing their true colors. Why not go out into the woods? Maybe they got away with it in Northern California. I find it interesting, too, that the first thing that happened there was the state, Gruesome Newsom and Company, took out a bunch of amateur radio repeaters that would have provided emergency communications to those people that were later burned out of there. Isn't that amazing? And that's gonna be something I'll come back to. But one more group, and I pulled up this. People have probably heard of Extinction Rebellion. This is a British group. They have a website. They have they call themselves XR, a UK-headquartered global environmentalist, and I'll put the word in here, radical movement. They claim they want to use non-violent civil disobedience to compel government action because they're saving the planet and saving biodiversity loss and the risk of ecological collapse. So I guess if you're worried about ecological collapse, aren't you willing to burn down some farms, kill some people in order to make your point? The cutesy pie coverage, here's a story from the leftist Guardian in the UK. Extinction Rebellion plugs holes in Spanish golf courses in a water protest. But here's another one from the same source. Whatever it takes, says the activist who risked prison to shatter Australia's climate complacency. Whatever it takes. Does that include burning people's farms? Sounds to me like if it's not already there, these people are ripe for the inevitable takeover that, because they're useful idiots, we can expect to see happen. So what I'm suggesting, David, is we need to be talking about the kinds of things those who live in places that are subject to being burned out, which is most of us, need to be aware of prior to getting burned out. Go ahead.
Well, so this delusion that is has taken over the planet and has been operated for millennia. I don't know how long it's been operated. I think it may have been operated all the way since the Garden. The delusion is so great that even the very elect could be deceived if that was possible, and those were the words of Yeshua. They need, in order to perpetuate their delusion, they need our buy-in. They need our consent. They need us to go along, to get along. They need our dependence. We can use other words, but they all suggest control relinquished to them to give them control over our minds. The reason they need control over our minds is because we're Israel. When those of us that can't be deceived, those of us that love truth, can't be persuaded into a powerful delusion. So there is a formidable enemy on this planet to this system of propaganda, to this delusional system, And that's those of us that want to know the truth and are willing to do anything to sell out any price to know the truth, but not to buy into the system. And there's a difference here. We become dependent on our Father and the Spirit of our Father to tell us the truth, to reveal to us the truth, to cause us to remember the truth and bring all things back to our remembrance so that we can remember who we are. And I genuinely believe that if we buy into that, if we give our allegiance to that, if we surrender to that, then Scripture tells us no weapon forged by man can prevail against us. You know, Peter walked on water, and we tend to forget that. You know, we relegate to the area of mythology, or, you know, we don't really believe it. And we go to these churches and sing songs, and we worship God for 15 minutes, you know, and that's the way we think it's supposed to go. But that's part of the delusional system that was set up to keep our minds captivated and mesmerized and hypnotized or brainwashed or whatever terminology you want to use that keeps us subjugated and in bondage. Now, the bondage is bondage to a lie. The bondage is bondage to delusion because we refuse to love the truth. It's a perfect system. So here we are at the end when their system has run its course. It can't sustain itself. It's not sustainable. The monetary system is not sustainable. The war machine is not sustainable. So we're coming up against a crossroads here where we're going to be forced to make a choice. We either get on board with evil or we get on board with the kingdom of heaven. It's always been the ultimatum. And anyway, so Mark, I see that you just sent me a text. I was breaking up, and you're breaking up too, so I guess we've got a really bad connection with the radio, but I'm going to relinquish. Go ahead, talk.
Okay, so you were breaking up and not quite inaudible, but definitely difficult to understand. So there are some practical things, there are some spiritual things. We talk a lot about the spiritual things. I think that is a given, and certainly it's a place we start. Who do you serve? Who do you trust? If you trust Big Brother, honestly, if you trust Big Brother, having been demonstrated that he is a liar and the truth is not in him, you're going to die. And I can't say too much other than, well, hey, we've been warned, so don't fall for that one. But I mentioned the situation with the amateur radio stuff in California, because one of the things that I think is important and that I want to spend a minute at least getting your take on and talking about is what happened in Lahaina with the fires. Because notice that they shut the power down, they shut the water down, so people that were on the water system couldn't put out the fires. They closed some of the roads so people couldn't evacuate. They failed to activate, well, they deliberately perhaps didn't start the sirens, so they didn't get any warning there. So essentially what happened is people were without communications. They didn't know where to run, and they died. And so I think it's vitally important that we recognize that communications is very important to understanding what's coming and what we need to do when it happens. So in our small community here, I had an amateur radio club. We got people that started studying radio and learning about how to use VHF transceivers called 2 meters and similar kinds of communications devices, getting a little bit of understanding about antennas and how it works and line of sight and procedures so that when bad things happen, we have the communication. We've already used it a couple times to find people that were lost or that were separated and, you know, got out in the boondocks and didn't know where they were and so forth, or even just something as simple as having a flat tire or driving off a ditch in the wintertime. So it's valuable for that. But in particular, I can't help but think, you know, what happens at the point where we realize that there are arsonists running around? I mentioned Extinction Rebellion and Antifa and so forth. There is a mindset here that I think is literally ripe for terrorism. Why not take Extinction Rebellion and say, oh, they claim to be nonviolent, but we're not going to kill people. We're just going to burn their animals and their farms because, you know, the farms are places where they're growing food. We don't want you to have food, and their animals are using them for meat. And how bad is that? We got to kill that. So it's not a leap at all to say that this mindset that has been cultivated is precisely the mindset that says burn them out. So I got to ask a question I think people need to be talking about. If you find a group of people, or actually two or three carloads, say, of separate people roaming the outskirts of your farmland or your local community, and they're carrying gasoline and matches, what's the right response? Do you have to wait for them to set the fire and then try to put it out? Or do you shoot to kill? Oh, wait a minute. No, you can't even say that. The Soros DA will shut you down first, not let you talk about it. And second, they'll come and throw you in jail while those people that were let free go out and burn your farm down after you're gone. See, this is the kind of thing I want people to talk about now before it becomes a, ooh, I sure wish I'd thought about it, before they killed all my animals, burned my wife alive and my kids, and here I am in jail because I tried to shoot them. Go ahead, David. Whoops. Okay, let me see if I can get David back. We'll just have him reconnect. Meanwhile, he ended up saying he had a bad enough connection. He was going to hang up. Let me lay out a couple more things. Okay, we got you back. You're still breaking up. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know how good of a connection I have. You're breaking up so bad I can barely understand you, and I'm thinking it might be my connection. Again, I don't know. We could say the same thing over and over, but we really just need to understand that when we're backed into a corner and there's no place left to go, the only place we have left to go is inwardly into our minds and in our thoughts. And ultimately, that's where the fifth generation warfare, that's what General Flynn's talking about in his book, Fifth Generation War. The battle is in our minds. And the battle is to control our minds. The battle is to keep us subjugated to a delusional reality that they can control. They control the money. They control our commerce. They control our economy. They control everything, and they use it through the principles of hypnosis and delusion. So as we're watching the fires and we're watching the tactics of the enemy using fear and using doubt and sowing the seeds of apprehension and causing us to question our reality, we know that we're engaged by the enemy, whose full objective is to keep us subjugated into a false reality where they have total control. It literally is like a Matrix or a Truman world. And it is, when we participate with this, we go along to get along, we just perpetuate the problem. The objective is we cannot let them force anything on us. We have to not cooperate. But that's the remedy, is non-cooperation and to, anyway, you all have a great, I'm going to withdraw because my, yeah. Sorry, Mark.
Okay. I hope he doesn't hang up. He can hang up and reconnect, but in any case, yeah, his connection is bad, and we'll try to get him back here in a second. Again, on to the communications issue and some of the things that I think we need to try to talk about. I was hoping to have a discussion, and I guess Big Brother doesn't want that to happen. That's part of the problem, and no surprise. In any case, communications and being able to do something about it when we find it. The second part of that is tougher, and we'll come back to that in a second. But I certainly want to start with this idea of, look, if you're in an area where like where we are here, okay, we're on top of a mesa, but there are mountains around, and there are certainly terrain features, gullies and high walls of mountains that are several hundred feet tall and so forth, that would separate one part of the area from another. We got neighbors that are on the other side of basically a 500-foot hill. So we need to have an ability to communicate. So what I did is I put up what's called a repeater on the highest point in the mesa, and yeah, it can be destroyed or wiped out. But in the meanwhile, we have the ability to talk using handheld radios literally anywhere within several miles. And it's completely off-grid, as is everybody else up here. So we have power and backups. We have radios that will work in a power outage. And all of those things, essentially, if you compare what happened in Maui, they didn't have. They literally were not able to communicate. They didn't know where the fires were, for starters. They certainly weren't out in the tall grass saying, hey, you know, they claim the one fire is out, but look, there are people setting three different fires in three different places, all of which are going to converge and cut off that one road that would let us out of here. So in all of these places and in all of these things, there are so many things that people for years have pointed out are vital. Yes, we have to know who we serve. David likes to focus on the spiritual, and I agree that is a fundamental. But having done that, now we have to say, all right, do I have the ability? And I know people will say, well, I don't need to know anything in order to use these radios. It's real simple. Well, no, it's not. And if you don't understand a little bit about electronics, about what cable and how antennas work, and why line of sight communication is important, and how to operate on a radio, what is capture effect? And how do these things actually communicate? You know, if you haven't used it, in other words, when you need it because your life depends on it, you're in a world of hurt. And I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, well, I got lost, and I got out of my car because the car ran out of fuel, or I had a flat tire, or I drove off in a ditch, and then I got disoriented, and then it got dark, and, you know, it started raining, or it was snowing, and I couldn't see. And I just didn't have the radio because I didn't think I'd need it. Or I didn't have it, but I couldn't work it anyway because I had it sitting there, but I didn't know how it works. All of these things, folks, are excuses for people who sadly end up dead. So that's part A. Part B, and again, this is the tougher one, and I want people just to think about this, because ultimately the answer that you're going to hear from the local police and from anybody else is, oh, well, you don't know what this fellow intended. You don't know that he intended to burn your farm, that he intended, because he was upwind of where your animals are and your grass and so forth, that he, and the fact that he had a can of gas and some matches, you don't know what he intended. You know what, folks? How long do you have to wait to figure out what somebody intended before you say, I think just maybe I had better take action to prevent it before, you know, once he lights a fire, you can take him in custody, and then what? You're going to hold on to him while your farm burns and your animals are destroyed, or your family or your home or whatever it is? The time to ask these questions, the time to think about it, is now. And if you've got local sheriffs that are saying, oh, well, you can't take action, you better find yourself a new local sheriff, or you better start doing things that basically say, hey, we need to have some understandings in mind. Why? Because we have seen all of this play out. We have seen exactly what it looks like when people who aren't ready die. Have their literally everything that they've worked for all their lives. I have great sympathy for the people in Lahaina and for the people in those places in California and for the people that didn't get out of Portland or Seattle or Kenosha. Over and over again, folks, we have seen this. How many times do we have to watch it? I also emphasize, of course, the whore church, because we have a church which spends a lot more time worrying about can't we all just get along and let's just have a watered down one fuzzy wuzzy Jesus who loves everybody, including can't we all just get along and love is love. Come on. Scripture tells us that these things are they're abominations, and that the whore church was kicked out of the land for a reason. If we can't start asking ourselves the hard questions and thinking about the hard answers, then they've already won. And ultimately, when it comes to the question of, is the election going to fix it? Are you kidding me? Does anybody really still believe that an election is going to fix a problem where they're not going to have you're not going to be allowed to have candidates? And if you have candidates that actually tell you the truth, or even because they've had personal experience with it, recognize just how far gone things are, we're going to shut them up, throw them in jail? I saw a picture of one of the January 6th defendants, the horrible crime of actually walking through an open door at the behest of some Capitol police officers, and the guy is in a jail cell, which looks more like a concrete closet. If I had to guess from the picture, you know, given that he's probably 6 foot tall, it was maybe 7 or 8 foot long and 4 foot wide, with a bucket on the floor of concrete. No bed, no toilet, no nothing, just a bucket. And how many months have they put these people in this gulag? Folks, this is who we're dealing with. We have to understand that this is not a democracy. Never was supposed to be a democracy. This is not a situation where people are of good faith and they disagree. There's no disagreement here. Yeah, I see the stuff about the great divide and people talking about the divide. Well, ultimately, whose side are you on? there is, you know, as Yeshua said, if you're not with me, you're against me. And if we don't know his name and don't know what he said and don't believe that he wrote what he wrote, didn't change what he said he was going to do, we're probably on the wrong team. So got just a couple minutes left, and I'm really sorry we can't have the discussion with David here today. I'll say this too. If you're online and you'd like to send some comments or ask some questions or suggest topics that we need to talk about, because I'm encouraging discussion at this point while we still can. There are a lot of things that people who are our preppers have known about for years, but it's one thing to think about them. It's another thing to ask yourself the tougher questions. Okay, I got my food, I got my bug out bag, I got my this, I got my that. But have you thought about the fact that they really do intend to burn down the roads? If you've never read a book by James Wesley Rawls called Teotihuacan, which stands for The End of the World as We Know It, I would encourage you to. By the way, later it was republished as The Patriots. And essentially, there were some stories in here. They're fictional stories, but the fact that people can write them in fiction means people have read them. And if you've seen Antifa and BLM and Extinction Rebellion, and you know the kind of things they're planning, and you can recognize, well, we can think about it. Hey, they've thought about it, too. The difference is they'll do it. So here is one of the stories that came out of Teotihuacan, or the Patriots. Essentially, some bad guys, road warrior style, after a major breakdown of society, decided they were going to block a road. How do they do it? Well, they fell trees across the road. They jackknife a semi across the road. They do it just over the crest of a hill so that somebody's driving along and doesn't expect what's going to happen. They crest the hill. Uh-oh, there's a tree in the road, a truck in the road. Bang! Or maybe they stop. But wait a minute. The bad guys knew that they were going to stop, so they blocked them from behind. And then they open fire and they kill them. They eat them and they take everything that they have. Ha ha! Another one bites the dust. If we do not think about these scenarios, if we are not aware of the level of evil that we are facing and what we need to be prepared for, well, you're a sucker. That's the old story, right? You go to the poker table, you wonder who the sucker is. If you don't know, it's you. But it's worse still when your life depends on it, and they intend not only to steal from you, to kill you, and maybe even eat you. This is the world that we're in. Whether we like it or not, it was exactly the world that we've been warned about by Scripture because we failed to walk in obedience. Some of us grew up in a time when we could leave our doors unlocked. Well, you can't anymore. And now we've gotten to the point where you can't even trust that they aren't going to come and send people with matches and gasoline to ring your property and or at least go from the windward side and burn things up. Those who live in areas that know what's coming are going to have to say, okay, how am I going to prepare for this? Do I need people with radios? Yep, thankfully I have some communication skills. We've learned about that. I need to go out and I need to send people on occasional patrols, or I need to have a perimeter. I need to know where the roads in and roads are. Where would the likely place that an arsonist would go to start his fire? Where would that be? I'll keep an eye on that. Do I have a place where I can look at that or people that can look at it for me? All of these things are the kinds of things that we need to be aware of. And with that, I'll say thanks. Shabbat Shalom.